broadcasting from the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It's time for Kick Set with USA Swimming, bringing you interviews with athletes, coaches, and experts from age group swimming to the national and Olympic teams.
Hello, and welcome to the Kick Set podcast. I am your host, Dan McCarthy. I hope everybody is either getting ready to enjoy Thanksgiving, or maybe you're listening to this over the Thanksgiving break and starting to think about and get ready for Christmas. I also, of course, hope everybody is safe and healthy. Before we get into our podcast today, I wanted to encourage you to visit the USA Swimming website. We have a lot going on there right now. As soon as you log on to the site, usaswimming.org, you can visit the national leaderboard, which will be updated every weekend with new results. The November leaderboard is up right now, and I think that runs through November 30th. Scroll down a little bit on the main page, and you're going to find a ton of information about events we've just hosted and upcoming events as well. I do encourage you to scroll down to the upcoming events. We hosted the Toyota US Open, was at many sites, November 12th through 30th. You know, we had some flexible dates in there. And as a matter of fact, our guest today is going to chat a little bit and learn about one of the sites and how a multi-site US Open looks. But I encourage you to go to the Toyota US Open site on our webpage and scroll through some of the results, see what happened at the different sites, who swam, how fast they swam. Excellent swimming went on there. And it was super encouraging for something that looks like, super elite level swimming to take place again. There's also information on there for the upcoming 18 and under winter championships, as well as for the first and out pro swim series of the 2021 schedule for Richmond, Virginia. Golden goggles. Yes, golden goggles. We just hosted those last Thursday, whatever that was. And it was a ton of fun. And we are having a special rebroadcast of Golden Goggles on NBC's Peacock or the Olympic Channel. That's going to take place at 8 o'clock at night on November 24th. So hopefully you're getting this in time in order to go on TV and watch that. And because of that, that means that the silent auction that goes along with the Golden Goggles will be open for an extra day. And so if you haven't had an opportunity to sign in and bid on items for the silent auction, the auction table will be open until November 25th. So our guest today is going to be Madison Cox. I wanted to get one of the athletes that participated in this multi-site US Open because it's something so different from what we normally do, and get a feel for what the meet was like from an elite athlete's point of view. And Madison's going to provide us with that. We had some time to talk about, how she had to reorganize her life based on COVID-19 and the delay in the Olympic Games. And if you pay attention and listen all the way through, Madison will also explain how pickleball became a very viable and legitimate dry land activity for her during quarantine. All right, let's take a listen. Madison, welcome to the Kick Set podcast. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Dan. I'm doing great. Just happy to be here.
All right, great, great. So one of the main reasons that I wanted to speak with you is that you attended one of the multi-site US Open events that we had last week. Looking over how you swam, 210, 200 IM, 158, 200 free, and 227 and 200 breast. If last April I would have said you'd have been quarantined for a few months and lived through a pandemic, and then next November you would have swam those times, you'd be happy, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was I didn't really know what to expect going into it, and I think the expectations were all over the place, but all in all, I'm pretty pleased with those times.
Yeah, I have my own personal bet here, but which one did you think was the best?
I think the, like, objectively the best one was probably the 2IM, but I was most proud of the 2 Free, I think.
Okay.
Just because I don't usually swim that one. And I'm just kind of still learning how to swim it. If you look at the splits for that race, they weren't great, but I'm still learning. I'm coming around to it, but I think I'm excited about the direction that event's going for me.
Okay. That's actually because the 210 is the one that caught my eye, as I think it caught everybody's. Everybody was like, oh, wow. And then the 158 is like, oh, that's a nice little addition. And then the 200 breast, looking at that, it's like, wow, that's like a little cherry on top. Cause it's, you know, it's a fine time, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So getting prepared to do this, your pandemic training was, I'm not going to say different for what you're used to, but compared to other athletes in your situation, it might be very similar. A lot of isolation, individual swimming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of individual swimming. Just, I mean, I, it's really hard to swim on your own. It's really hard. And for 1 week, a short period of time, it's fine, but weeks on end, not knowing when it's going to stop. It's really hard to be self-motivated enough to get out to the pool, to do some laps, do a hard workout. It was really, really challenging.
Has it improved?
Well, I mean, I can swim with people now. So yes. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's great. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the competition itself. Because this is a first for USA Swimming. The US Open is usually a pretty big event, an international event. And now it was a multi-site event. We were in Oregon, Iowa, North Carolina, Alabama, Indianapolis, Southern California, Virginia, Texas, and Florida. And you swam at the Texas site?
I did. I swam at the one in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay. How was it?
It was different. It was not the, you know, I've been to many US Opens in my time swimming, and it was definitely not what you said, like the traditional one where everyone comes to one place and has this one big meet and the crowd is kind of crazy and it's pretty, there's some hype and some excitement behind it. And it was different to say the least. You know, there wasn't really, we were fortunate enough to have some spectators at ours. With that though, the actual number of competitors was limited. I think that was like how we were able to have spectators. I'm not sure. But we kind of had to build our own hype. It was our Texas team was there, and I was really thankful for them, and not everyone, but a few people were there. And we just kind of made it as exciting as we could for us, and just took it for what it was and try to make the most of it.
A lot of things were different. What couldn't you get over that was just the most different thing? Like this, was it the fans? Was it the small number of athletes? Like, if you had to nail one thing that just made it so different.
Honestly,
yeah,
the warm-up situation was so weird. Like, I've never been to a big meet and had so much space in warm-up. Oh. Like, there's like two other people in my lane, and you know, usually at big meets, you see those pictures of like everyone just fighting each other back to back, people just, it's usually crazy in warm-up. And I kept on waiting for people to, you know, filter on in, more people to come. And then I was like, no, this is everyone at this meet. I mean, it was a small meet. I mean, no more than, I think the max was like 3 heats for like the 100 freestyle, which usually has 20 something, you know, it was crazy.
So it wasn't awful.
No, the warm-up situation was like a delight, but like weird. Like it was like, this is not how warm up is at big meets. Like and then, you know, warm up is where you really tune your mind to get ready for the racing. And it was really hard to like, remember, like I'm at a big meet right here when there wasn't a million people circle swimming around me and just like kind of doing whatever they need to do to get ready, but just kind of the chaos that comes with warm up at big meets.
And the finals only swims. Is this like more of like a college dual meet for you then?
Yeah, it felt a little bit like that. It was definitely weird. I mean, I think the best session or my favorite session was the Friday afternoon, because you had a final in the morning and then you had a final at night. So the final at night actually felt like a real final. But for me, that first morning, both morning finals felt so weird. I was like swimming, you're swimming in the morning, but it's a final. It was just really hard to wrap your head around, but it definitely was kind of like a college dual meet where you get one shot at it, better make it a good one. Right. And, but it, on the other hand, like it's kind of cool. Sometimes I feel like I spend a lot of energy at meets, like just in prelim swims that don't matter as much when I, in this way, I was like able to kind of conserve some energy and spend it on the real races.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously there's been a ton of sports to watch since August, whether you're into baseball, basketball, football. And the one thing that struck me watching those sports is it's easy to forget once you get into the game that the fans aren't there, that the mm-hmm. athletes are going 100%, that they care. They're, you know, very emotional whenever, you know, important things happen. And I don't ever want to say that the fans aren't important, because they're really important for swimming. I think that's even like growing up as an age group swimmer, you know, it's one of the things that's always you remember from the big meets is the being in a packed stadium for something. But as a competitor, once you hit the water, you aren't thinking that you're at a multi-site US Open anymore.
Oh no. Once you hit the water, I mean, I think my brain just goes blank. My muscles go into muscle memory. I know how to swim the races. I know what to do. And my mind is just on competing, on winning. I mean, I've never thought about the fans and the stands during a race. I've always just really thought about, you know, I'm in the moment thinking of just winning the race and doing what I need to do and what I've trained to do.
How sparse did the deck look sparse with like coaches and officials, or was that kind of like the norm?
No, it was very sparse. It was extremely sparse. Everyone was really spread out. You know, usually you're also fighting for like space on a bench to put your bag. And this time, you know, we had our own bench. We weren't near anyone else. Coaches on the deck. I mean, there weren't really many teams there. Right. So there were a few coaches on the deck. Officials, you know, obviously were there. But it was definitely, definitely sparse.
Okay. We talked a little bit earlier about, you know, your preparations, or I don't even call it your preparations, but how you continued to train over the last 8 months. And it's crazy, like many people. But the delay in the Olympic Games was a really messed things up for you, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it did. It was kind of, I was.
Your life plan just got.
Oh, absolutely. I had planned everything out in my life, like to a T. This is what I'm going to do. This is, you know, then I'm going to go on to this. And I had to completely reevaluate things. I had been accepted to medical school. I accepted the offer to go to UT Houston for medical school. I was supposed to start this past fall. However, with the delay of the games, I knew I wasn't going to do swimming and med school at the same time. It just like wasn't feasible for me. So I decided to request a deferral, and they were gracious enough to grant me one. And so I was very thankful for that, because otherwise I would have had to completely reapply to med school. And that was just a headache and a half the first time. So I'm very glad that I'm able to still go there. However, it'll just be this coming fall 2021 that I'll start med school. And then that gave me this year to train. So
okay.
It worked out. It definitely wasn't ideal though.
So any classes right now?
Oh yes. Yes. So I did decide, I didn't want to just like kind of sit around this year. I really love going to school and I love learning. So I decided to pursue my master's in public health. So I'm getting that degree, or started that degree this year. I'll finish it concurrently with medical school, but I did start my classes and actually have a test tomorrow for that. But yeah, doing a little bit of school and learning a bit.
So do you have a increased interest in airborne diseases now?
not really particularly, but it has given us a lot of content for classes. I'm in an epidemiology class, and it's been really interesting to learn about epidemiology, especially with the framework and context of COVID and everything like that. So it has been really interesting. I don't know if that's necessarily what I want to pursue, but I've definitely enjoyed learning about it.
Is there something that you've always had your eye on, or are you open as far as what you're going to practice?
I'm pretty open in terms of public health. I think I'm leaning more towards healthcare policy. Mm. And then in terms of my medical degree, I have no idea. I'm really interested in dermatology, but that could change. That's just based on my experiences so far working with different physicians and shadowing people and working at hospitals. So
a lifetime of very dry chlorinated skin.
Yeah, I know. I need to start putting on lotion or something at least. But yeah.
All right. Well, so we talked, you mentioned earlier that you did some training alone. People I have found are still incredibly interested in how the athletes adapted over this period of time, whether it was like what sort of training you had to kind of switch to, how you built a gym in your garage, you know, what interesting adaptations did you have to make that not just sustained you, but actually have you swimming pretty well right now?
Yeah, that was really hard to do. But it was definitely something we kind of, I kind of like learned as I went, but, so pretty much right when everything happened, I went home to Lubbock, Texas. I was very fortunate to be able to, you know, have a place there to stay, you know, with my family. And then also they have a couple of resources that I don't have here in Austin. One of which being a Peloton, like a stationary bike. My mom has one. So, that's kind of what took over for a while, you know, to really like make sure I was still getting the cardio I needed. I was doing Peloton rides. I mean, every single day. For a while. And they also, my dad had some free weights in our gym. We had a TRX band. And I had a couple other bands from our weight room here that I was really, you know, I had to work with my weight coach and kind of adjust some things, but I was making sure I got what I needed to, you know, the dry lanes aspect. And I was also kind of supplementing with cardio from the Peloton. I think it worked out pretty well there for a while. And then eventually, actually, a pool did open up in Lubbock that I was able to go. It was like a 20-minute drive from my home, and I would just go by myself once a day for an hour to 2 hours and just get a workout in there. It was really hard to do. It's so hard to train alone and like have that motivation and keep in, you know, I had no idea what my next competition would be. So it's hard to train without a goal, and it's hard to train alone, and putting those two things together really was a formula to just test, you know, I feel like our drive and our commitment to this sport. And that's exactly what I kind of leaned into and just, you know, took it one day at a time, got what I needed to done, but also made sure I was just happy. You know, I never had that long at home with my family, you know, since I left for college. So I really just tried to enjoy that time with them, take advantage of it, you know, get as much as I could from it and enjoy it. And then eventually when pool started opening up in Austin, I made the choice to come back here. I felt like it was a safe decision, and I did so. However, I didn't have a gym here, didn't have any weights or anything. So I kind of had to adjust there. I still brought my bands and I brought my TRX, and I got a pull-up bar that I brought from home and was just doing dry lands around the house that I could. And then now we're at the point where we're training with the team, and I have a weight room that we go to, just like it's an independent weight room on campus that no one trains at, that me and two of my other post-grad teammates are able to go and train. Okay. At.
I hold your coaching staff in very high esteem. I've had the pleasure to work with them on overseas trips, and actually, you know, like I worked with Mitch at USA Swimming. It's kind of helpful to have really awesome coaches to get through something like this, huh?
Oh yeah. They have, I mean, they're the reason I've gone through it. Carol was sending me practices all throughout when I was home. Just checking in on me, making sure I was okay, making sure the whole team was okay, hosting Zooms for all of us to keep, you know, that connection. Cause for a while, like you lose that connection with your friends. And so they were really making sure that we never lost that. We were still, you know, together as a team, even though we weren't physically together. They were really great about that. And they've really been two, you know, people leading this team through the whole thing, and two like solid rocks to lean on when times have gone hard.
Yeah. Carol's exceptional, and you're lucky.
Yeah, lucky. I know. I'm very fortunate and grateful for having Carol and Mitch. They're incredible.
So obviously trials, Olympic Games, you know, we can look forward to the summertime, and everybody knows what the goal is. Do you feel like you have a pathway there now, a clear path? Like, what is your plans moving forward into the winter months here?
Honestly, there's not really a clear path yet, because things are kind of still up in the air. I'm just trying to take it one meet at a time, one little training phase at a time. So right now we have, right after Thanksgiving break, we'll have our invite, and I think I'm competing at that. But my next real sight is set on the January Pro Swim in Richmond. But really just making sure that I'm, you know, back to, you know, the coaches being so great. They've also, in times that we don't have these competitions, they've made kind of fake ones for us just as a team. So we're able to get up and race, even though it's not against like other competitors or anything like that. We're still getting up, racing. We have suits on, we have the touch pads, everything like that, really simulating what a real meet is. So I'm, you know, I know they're going to help prepare us in terms of the competition aspect, and then just, you know, training, just following their lead and doing what we're supposed to be doing in and out of the pool, I think is really the plan that's going to move us forward to trials and hopefully the games.
Yeah. That's one of the fun things that we could never have planned for working at USA Swimming, is that a number of programs across the country decided whenever they could, you know, throw the pads in, suit up, mm-hmm. if you want, we're going to do some races. And the stories that have come back to us, probably slightly exaggerated, of what somebody did in practice or what somebody did back to back, have been pretty amazing. You know, we'll leave them to lore for now. However, what was the best thing you saw in one of these competitions, or something unexpected?
We've had a lot of best times in these things. Like, I know, yeah. Like for myself, I went best time in the 200 IM at one of the meets. Yeah, 200 IM short course. So okay. I hadn't swam it in a while, but it was like a 152.0. And it was at it was a sanctioned meet, and it was like, yeah. I was, you know, I haven't swam it in a while, but I was still really proud of that. And, you know, beyond me, we had people on the whole team doing that kind of stuff. You know, it was really crazy and really wild to see that. You know, it also gave us all confidence of, we took this time off, training has not been normal, but we did have a big base of training to work off of, and we are still going to be good, and we are still good. Like, just because training was different or time was taken off, like, that does not negate like the probability and chances of success this season. I think if anything, it could help us out.
That's great. Yeah, that's very similar to what we've heard, and even some coaches turning around and saying, you know, I would never ever recommend this as a training plan. However, yeah. The results we're seeing are exceptional.
Yeah, I agree.
So the more fun part, you said that you spent a lot of time at home, a lot of time with your family. Obviously, we did the same thing here. My wife had the opportunity to introduce Dawson's Creek to my daughter, and they watched that. Any streaming that you had a chance to dive into that you wouldn't have while you were home?
Streaming, I really like the show Schitt's Creek, and yep. I'd actually seen it before quarantine, but I rewatched it multiple times since then. It's just an incredible show, incredible actors, actresses, everything. But one thing I did get really, really into during this time, it's not like necessarily TV speaking, but the game Pickleball. We made a court in our driveway in Lubbock, and we would play every single day, hours on end. We would play pickleball. It's so much fun. I just went home this past weekend, and all I wanted to do was play pickleball. And that's what we did for 6 hours a day. We would just go play pickleball.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Did you, have you brought it to Texas, to UT for dry land work?
No, I haven't done that yet. Honestly, whenever I'm like in Austin in my main, you know, doing my training, I don't really have the energy. So I kind of save that for when I'm home, you know, training's sure. not as like stringent. And so that's really when I dive deep into my pickleball addiction.
Okay. Are you a podcast person?
I am a podcast person. I love a good podcast.
Give me a few.
well, I have different ones I like to listen to at different times in my life, but I really like just The Daily, that one. I listen to that every day. Morning Brew is good. There's one for like dating, like life advice with like Girls Gotta Eat. That one always makes me laugh. Like when I just like want to be in a good mood and right. just like put something on, like mindlessly listen, that one's a good one. Those are like kind of the ones I'm in right now. Yeah.
Okay. If people listen to this podcast and were like, wow, what a cool woman, where would they find you on social media?
Instagram would be the main way to find me, at mad_cox.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't really use Twitter or anything, but Instagram, definitely am there. And if you have any questions too, I go into my requests and I answer those, you know, as often as possible. So.
All right. You want to give a shout out to charities, sponsors, anything that you're affiliated with?
Arena actually is absolutely, they're my sponsor for swimming. Incredible sponsor, incredible people in the company, the incredible suits. I mean, I couldn't speak more highly just of the brand, and that's not because I'm getting paid to do that. That's just because I genuinely love them. Just incredible brand through and through. Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Thanks again, Madison. I hope you guys enjoyed that. A couple things for you before we leave here. Pickleball. I did not know that pickleball was part of the USA family of sports. If you go to usapickleball.org, you can learn more about pickleball. Who knew? And of course, while you're on the internet, go to usaswimming.org and visit some of those things we talked about earlier, whether it be the leaderboard, going back over some US Open results, perusing the Golden Goggle auction items, or maybe looking forward to the Pro Swim Series in Richmond, Virginia this January. Once again, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I hope you guys are all safe and healthy through the holiday. And if you have an opportunity, please take time to give us a review, a rating on whatever your preferred podcast provider might be. Thank you and take care.
Thanks for listening to Kick Set with USA Swimming. Check out www.usaswimming.org/kickset for more episodes and add Kick Set to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes.